From the deserts of the Coachella Valley to the mountains of the Sierra Nevada, this is the voice of California youth football, the Chain Crew Podcast, brought to you by the California Youth Football Alliance, powered by HelmetFitting.com. Now, here's the Chain Crew.
Welcome to another Chain Crew podcast brought to you by the California Youth Football Alliance. Glad you could be here with us today. It's Steve Famiano, joined very shortly by Ron White. And we're going to be opening up a discussion with our guest today from the Virginia Tech Biomechanics Lab, which has become the premier source for football helmet testing. And for the first time this year, Virginia Tech has released their first ever youth football helmet ratings. And we're really excited for these guys to be joining us so we can find out exactly what's going on there at the Virginia Tech lab. Find out about the rating systems from 3-star, 4-star to 5-star. Does that make a difference? I don't know. We're going to hear from those guys coming up very soon and look forward to that discussion in just a few minutes here on the Chain Crew podcast. But before we bring those guys in from Virginia Tech, I'm going to get you updated real quick on a few alliance happenings and what's been happening with the California Youth Football Act AB1, which has been progressing around the building up in Sacramento. Exciting news about that coming up here in a few seconds. First, I want to talk about one of the partnerships that has been made between the California Youth Football Alliance and HelmetFitting.com. This one is extremely exciting because of the fact that, you know, we've always certified our coaches how to teach tackling and all that stuff. We've also done concussion awareness and all that stuff. But when have we ever really certified our staff in our leagues to fit equipment properly? We haven't until now. And that's where HelmetFitting.com comes in. This is the first ever certification for youth football equipment fitting. And this can go for all your volunteers in your league, your coaches, and your parents can take this certification too so that they know how to fit equipment properly. That's the best part of it, because you can have the best equipment out there, but if it's not fit properly, then you're not putting that player in the safest environment. And HelmetFitting.com brings in industry experts to get the players equipped properly and do it safely. And it's very exciting that this offering is out there now for the very first time. And not only that, what's even more exciting, if you go to our website, cayfa.org, you can get your alliance discount to take your helmet fitting certification course. All you got to do is go to the website, cayfa.org. That's helmetfitting.com. Get your alliance discount by going to our website, cayfa.org. Now, let me get you updated on the California Youth Football Act AB1, which has been moving around the building in Sacramento. The first phase was the Assembly Committee, which heard the bill a few weeks ago. They passed it 6-0. It then moved on to the full Assembly, which passed it unbelievably 68-0. Just a unbelievable number of yes votes to move that bill on to the California Senate. This past week, the bill was heard in the Senate Health Committee hearing. That passed 9-0. So now the California Youth Football Act AB1 is moving on to the full Senate in the state of California. After that, I mean, we're definitely thinking with the record of voting that has happened so far, no votes on the California Youth Football Act, that this bill has a very good chance to pass the California Senate and then move on to hopefully a signature from Governor Gavin Newsom. And that could be happening here in the next few weeks, which is a really exciting news for California youth football, considering where we came from in 2018 with talk of a youth football ban. And here we are in 2019, almost 2/3 of the way there to passing the nation's first ever better, safer youth football legislation, which is just absolutely unbelievable, exciting time for youth football here in California. And we'll definitely get you updated on where the California Youth Football Act stands on our next Chain Crew podcast, which will be happening here in the next few weeks. And coming up on this edition of the Chain Crew Podcast, our guest from the Virginia Tech Biomechanics Lab will be joining myself along with Ron White as we talk youth football helmet ratings. That's all coming up next right here on the Chain Crew Podcast. Sit tight.
This is the Chain Crew Podcast, powered by the California Youth Football Alliance. Honor, improve, advance the sport of youth football across the great state of California. Now, back to today's show.
Welcome back to the Chain Crew Podcast, brought to you by the California Youth Football Alliance. Steve Famiano, along with Ron White, and today's show, we're discussing youth football helmets, which of course is a needed piece of equipment when you're playing the sport of youth football. Part of the discussion that's been happening lately with youth football helmets is a new rating system, which has been put out by Virginia Tech. And we're lucky enough to have on the line with us today from the Virginia Tech Biomechanics Helmet Lab, Barry Miller and Dr. Capolitano. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. Happy to be here.
All right. Glad to have you guys on. There's a lot to discuss as far as what you guys do there at Virginia Tech with this rating system. For a few years now, you guys have been testing the adult helmets, and everybody's pretty much seen those ratings. This year in 2019, you guys put out for the very first time the youth rating system. And probably for a lot of people that are involved with youth football, they might not understand what is going on with that rating system, how that all works, and how you guys come up with that. So how did Virginia Tech, first off, get involved with testing football helmets?
Well, I think the story goes that Dr. Stefan Duma went to a military injury biomechanics conference way back in the early 2000s, and the idea of putting a sensor in a helmet came up. And so he and Dr. Brolinson got together, and they were thinking about how to do this, and they rolled it out. And luckily, Coach Frank Beamer agreed to let them study, put sensors in the helmet, and conduct the research. And so we've been collecting data on football helmets for about 15 years now. And so we have a robust data set that we actually test and rate our helmets against now. And so it's ongoing. And so it's a great set of data that actually really supports how we actually test a helmet.
So as far as the testing, what's the difference in an adult helmet and youth helmet? And why is that testing different? And why can you not have the adult testing be done the same as the youth testing of the helmets?
Well, it all goes back to, you know, the playing population, you know, who's wearing that helmet. And you think about, you know, a professional football player or a college football player looks very different than, you know, a 10 and 12 year old playing Pop Warner. And so all of our testing methodologies, you know, how hard we hit the helmet, how much that impact is weighted, is based on that real world data that we have collected over the last 15 years for collegiate athletes and over the last 5 to 10 years for youth athletes.
Thank you for being on the podcast today. I had a question though, as it relates to the testing process. Can you walk through what the testing process looks like and how you determine a ranking between, say, 3 and 5? Just give us an overview of that process, if you would.
Any helmet that's commercially available, we go out and purchase and run it through the STAR protocol, which consists of 4 impact locations all around the helmet. So a front boss, a side, and a rear impact. And those impacts are conducted at 3 energy levels. And those correspond to an impact that would be the 80th percentile, 95th percentile, or 99th percentile head impact for a youth athlete. So we're looking at some of the hardest head impacts that, you know, youth players might experience on the field. Using a youth risk function that we developed that basically relates the energy output from the head form after an impact test to a risk of concussion based on the on-field data, we can kind of get a lump score that tells us how good a helmet is relative to other helmets on the market. And as far as the score breakdown, you know, whether it's a 1-star helmet or a 2-star helmet, we kind of looked at how the helmets distributions kind of varied. And so we saw there was a clear group of helmets that were high performing helmets. And then a clear group that were kind of lower performing, but, were still better than not wearing any helmet at all. So that's kind of how we are able to differentiate good helmets and bad helmets and get, you know, 1 through 5 stars.
So let me ask you guys this, as far as the rating system and how you have the numbering 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, is there really a big difference in that number 3, 4, and 5? And how does that all relate to each other? So is it unsafe to wear a 4, or is it unsafe to wear a 3, or is it just based upon the performance?
That's actually a really good question. And 5 stars versus 4 stars, we can get into that, but the main, I guess, point of comparison is the, star score. So that is represents the summed value of, and that essentially means if a player were to wear that particular helmet for a season and be exposed to the head impacts that we test in the lab, the helmet, the star score represents how many concussions on average that player would see. So if the score was, let's say, 5.63, if the player wore that helmet for a given season, we'd expect that he'd have 5.63 concussions.
And that's also relative to the 218 on average seasonal impacts the player would get. And so if you're comparing scores, you would mathematically subtract the scores from one another and divide them by 218. That would give you the percentage difference between helmet A and helmet B. Although any one concussion could be, have a dramatic impact on your life. So you got to put some practical analysis to that as well. But statistically, that's, or percentage wise, that's how you would calculate that.
No, absolutely. I appreciate that. One of the questions that jumps off the sheet for me is the varsity level helmet and above has been rated and tested for a while now. I think it's a great system, specifically for consumers making decisions as to what helmet that they want their athlete to wear. Why rate the youth helmet now? And maybe talk about the evolution of that. I know there's a little bit of time difference between when the varsity had been rated and then the rollout of 19. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So Barry touched on this at the beginning. We started instrumenting our collegiate athletes here at Virginia Tech back in 2003. And then we didn't get around to, the first star ratings until 2011, because we needed to collect a huge amount of data to really characterize exposure and concussive, biomechanics for that population. We need to do that same thing for youth athletes. Starting in 2012, we did a few pilot studies just to, really gauge the feasibility of rolling out this kind of study with youth athletes. And then in 2015, we began our NIH-funded grant with Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, and Brown University, also instrumenting athletes. We've been able to collect data from over 400 youth athletes over the last 4 years to really get a great understanding of how often these players are hitting their heads, when they're getting concussed, what the energy levels are. And so the time divide that you're seeing from when we released varsity football star to youth football star is really just a function of when we started collecting data on that population.
We really needed a PhD student to take this project on. So that's how Eamon got started.
makes total sense.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. It was a good 4 or 5 year project. So it worked out perfectly for him to take that on.
This is the Chain Crew Podcast. Steve Famiano along with Ron White, and we're joined by Barry Miller and Dr. Campolitano from the Virginia Tech Biomechanics Helmet Lab. We're talking Virginia Tech helmet ratings right now. And I asked you guys about the 3, 4, and 5 star. I'm going to get a little bit more specific on that rating system. And I'll stick with the 5 star because I know there's multiple 5 star helmets. So specifically as far as the 5 star rating, we have the Vicis coming in number one in your guys' rating system, and then followed by, other manufacturers down that line. Is there a drastic difference in not maybe wearing a Vicis or wearing that helmet that's a 5 star, but it's a little bit lower down on the list? Can you guys give us a little bit more in-depth information on how that works and how that's relevant to your guys' rating system?
Again, I think that comes back to the score. And the score value being interpreted as the number of concussions on average a player would get wearing that helmet if exposed to all 218 seasonal impacts. And so, when you interpret the score and how practical it is for you to buy helmet A, helmet B, price is going to be a component, fit, The position you play and the type of practices and games your son is actually, or son or daughter are playing. And so I think those are all practical considerations, but, you know, statistically, again, you know, maybe one concussion too many, but it is a tough choice to figure out, you know, what should I put my player in, to obviously, I mean, the safest helmet would be the number one choice, easiest, decision to make, but that may not be practical based on price points and fit and, some of those other items.
Yeah, and I'd also like to add that I think Visus is just ahead of the game than some of these other manufacturers. They're relatively new to the party, and their goal is just to make the safest headgear around. And so they've kind of been very proactive in seeking us out and figuring out when we're going to be releasing things. And I think their design timelines have, you know, synced up well with our release dates, whereas some of the older manufacturers, you know, currently the youth football helmet testing standards by NOCSI don't differentiate between youth and adult helmets. They're going to, but there's never been a reason for these manufacturers to really design a youth-specific helmet. And I think Visus really went out and did that in anticipation of our ratings, you know, like NOCSI not having that out there, where I think we'll start to see some of the other manufacturers, you know, Riddell, Zenith, Shutt, start to get into more youth-specific designs. So we might see, you know, the score differences start to decrease over the next several months or years as, you know, new models come out.
Barry, you had mentioned fitting of the helmet. You could have, say, a player that might not fit well in that number one rated helmet. So, you know, maybe they fit better in a 4-star helmet. But as far as safety goes, in the overall picture of that, is there really a drastic difference in that? Because, you know, everybody's head is a little bit different, and fitting is very important as far as safety goes also. So is the fitting a big factor, or do you guys take fitting into consideration as far as your rating systems go?
So in the rating system, we essentially, you know, go to the, you know, buy the helmet, put it on our head form, and we'll adjust the, you know, chin strap so that we're assuring, you know, a decent fit there. But we're not going through, you know, tremendous lengths to make sure all the pads are appropriately fit and, you know, coupled with the head. And the reason that we do that, or don't, you know, intentionally fit the helmet to the head form is that, as you said, you know, helmet fit is variable. And so some kids, you know, that might be wearing a medium helmet might be between a small and a medium, or between a medium and large, and get, you know, stuck in that medium. And, we want the rating system to kind of account for that, inherent variability in fit while we're doing the testing. And what we found is that, you know, in general, from test to test, we're getting individual results that differ by, you know, around, you know, less than 5%. So while ensuring you have a good fitting helmet is definitely key, in the grand scheme of how that affects the result, it is a small portion of that.
So I'm glad you pointed that out. It looks like that at least in the last 5 to 10 years, there's a lot of movement in the helmet market. We're seeing several players now introducing various new lines of helmets. Walk us through, if you would, how a manufacturer would get a helmet rated. Do they seek out Virginia Tech? Maybe you can just explain that process a little bit.
Yeah. So, well, for any helmet to be sold in the United States, it has to be certified by some agency or organization. And for football, it happens to be NOCSI. And, you know, that's the first step that the manufacturers need to do, is get that helmet certified. And then once it's commercially available on the market, we can go buy that helmet and test and rate it accordingly. Because our primary concern is to inform the consumers, not necessarily to serve the manufacturers, although we're willing to, you know, work with the manufacturers to help them design the best and safest helmet. But really, we're trying to inform the consumers, because if we weren't out there, I mean, there's no way to determine between helmet A and helmet B which one's going to better protect you from a concussion. You just know they were both certified, which is kind of scary, actually, when you think about it.
No, absolutely. It would have to be. And I think it's providing a tremendous service for the consumer base, right? Consumers are more informed now than they've ever been. I think this is a tremendous tool. One other question I had about testing, though, is part of the testing criteria, do you look at how that helmet performs across different temperature settings? I know in the Central Valley here, as we talked about early on, we'll see 105. Is that part of the testing criteria, how that helmet performs in different temperature ratings?
So that's not something that we do as part of the star rating system, but for the NOXI certification, they do have a high temperature and a cold temperature kind of test impacts that they conduct. And I think it's, you know, it's important that, like you said, you know, giving the consumers all the information. NOXI kind of governs a wide spread of impacts. So very severe, you know, skull fracture like impacts, and those extreme temperature conditions, whereas the star rating system is really designed to evaluate how safe helmets are in terms of concussion. So we're not a replacement for the standard by any means, and we're, you know, giving consumers supplementary information that can inform them for what's really a more common, you know, event. You know, in today's game, we're not seeing skull fracture in the way that we did in the 60s or 70s. And so concussion is kind of the biggest concern right now for football athletes. And by adding this additional tool for consumers, you know, we're hoping that we can further educate people.
No, that's great that you guys are informing consumers. I mean, that's very important, and players too, and especially for youth football, because you have parents and the kids that need to make a decision on what helmets they should be wearing. And that goes for leagues also. And that leads me to this question for you guys. What impact do you guys see for the helmet industry and the manufacturers, your rating systems? What has that done for all these companies that produce football helmets? Do you see them stepping their game up? Do you see them working to change technology, advance technology? Are you getting any feedback from the manufacturers on your rating system?
Well, I think we've created a healthy competition with the top rated football companies. They all want that top rated helmet. And, you know, even in the last 2 years, the scores of the star rating system have really dropped. And so there is a healthy competition. I think there, you know, several companies have really taken it on to make the safest, best helmet what they can. You know, price point, I think, is going to continue to come down as the technology is shared and as new types of innovations with helmet design. I think that's all good for the consumer and the sport.
Well, obviously it's good for the consumer. I agree 100%. You know, here in our local market, parents are more informed than ever. I've been asked those questions as soon as this rating system came out. Hey, can we wear our own helmet? Or hey, what would you recommend? I think it's good that it's starting the discussion. The healthy competition that's been bred from this, I think, will only serve the consumer.
We hope that the competition enters all the other sport helmet markets as well. Football is obviously the most advanced at this point in time, but probably they've been at it probably the longest. And so, but I think you'll see this cycling, hockey, soccer, flag football, which we mentioned some soft head gear. I think all that's coming pretty quickly here.
So for Virginia Tech and being as new as you guys are in doing helmet ratings, and especially the youth rating system, which just came out for the first time this year, is there anything that the consumer or us in the general public do not know about what you guys are doing there? I'm kind of giving you guys a chance to promote your Virginia Tech Helmet Lab. So is there anything in-depth information that might be interesting to us about what you guys are kind of doing behind the scenes there and looking forward in the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years as far as helmet testing and what you guys have going on? Give us maybe a little piece of information that we might not know about what you guys do.
Well, recently we launched a crowdfunding for equestrian helmets. That's one industry that we love to create a whole rating system for. It was over 50,000 head injuries in equestrian sports annually. And there's a huge need in that sport to create a rating system. But that obviously creates a funding issue for us. And, you know, we're independently funded and we operate primarily on grants and testing fees from the lab. So we're always looking for partnerships. We'd love to get into snow sport helmets as well. There's a couple other helmet industries. We're constantly, we'd love to have a full array of sports and industries, whether it be hard hats or sports or other activities. So we'd love to continue to enhance what we rate.
Well, I think you're providing a tremendous service for the consumer. I know that when we had gotten word that the youth helmet was going to be rated, I think it caused a lot of excitement in the industry. I think parents now can make more of an informed decision. I think provides a tremendous service. I know we're excited about it, but with that being said, there's so many helmets out there now. So much movement in the industry. Have you really seen a shift towards any specific technology as being the trend and you looking at helmets and the growth of that technology?
Well, I think, interestingly, each of the manufacturers has their own technology or innovation or tool that they're trying to use. But I will say in general, what we've found with, you know, across all technologies and with the different manufacturers is that they're seeking out pads that have kind of this dual density to them so that they can kind of be, you know, less stiff for, you know, lower energy impact, but then, you know, the padding can recognize a, you know, more severe impact and stiffen up accordingly, and all protection for a full range of impacts a player might see. And then we're also seeing, in general that helmets are thicker. You know, there's more padding to them, which is just going to increase basically the distance from that impact force when that energy is actually transferred to your head. Those two kind of things have been constant across all the manufacturers, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they continue to tackle this problem. But we also want to note that, you know, helmet technology is great, and improving helmets is, you know, definitely needed, but it's also necessary to really reduce the exposure to head impacts. So whether that be proper tackling form, limiting time and contact drills in practice, those are really going to be what sets the stage for promoting healthy activities in youth football.
We're talking with Barry Miller and Dr. Campolitano from the Virginia Tech Biomechanics Helmet Lab. Great discussion so far, guys. Actually learned a lot on this, and we're so happy that you could be with us today. We're about to wrap up the Chain Crew podcast, and I want to give you guys a chance to pass along to everyone listening to us, where can people find more information about what you guys do at Virginia Tech with your helmet ratings?
vt.edu/helmet. And that'll take you right to our helmets, helmet rating page. And we have applications, methodologies. There's a variety of information available from the various pages on that website.
Appreciate that, Barry. Appreciate your time. We appreciate Dr. Campolano's time in discussing what you guys do there at Virginia Tech as far as the helmet rating systems. We look forward to the continued work that you guys have going on there. And we appreciate your time today here on the Chain Crew podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Reach out anytime.
The Chain Crew podcast, brought to you by the California Youth Football Alliance.